Then we need to find our confidence in Him. The victory is already won in Jesus Christ. Listen, you're a child of God. You need to claim it this morning and then allow God to fight the battle for you.
Jesus still saves. You'll find mercy when you call His name. There's still power in the blood flowing from Calvary's crucified Son. Grace is still deeper than the stain. He can still make you free again. All that we know our God can do, it's still true.
People in the world today seem to have a lot to say. It's hard to tell what's right from what is wrong. In a world of blatant lies, it is hard for us to find the truth we need to keep our faith secure. But there are still some things I know for sure.
It's still true that Jesus still saves. You'll find mercy when you call His name. There's still power in the blood flowing from Calvary's crucified Son. Grace is still deeper than the stain. He can still make you free again. All that we know our God can do, it's still true.
Send our light across this land to share God's message with the dying world. No more blowing in the wind. You gotta know what you're believing in. It doesn't matter what this world may say. We're anchored in God's promise anyway.
It's still true that Jesus still saves. You'll find mercy when you call His name. There's still power in the blood flowing from Calvary's crucified Son. Grace is still deeper than the stain. He can still make you free again. All that we know our God can do, it's still true. All that we know our God can do, it's still true.
Feel as if they're losing control. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27, verse 4. With wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? And the reality is David's brothers were more concerned about their reputation than God's cause. And that's a dangerous place to be. If you're more concerned about your reputation than God's reputation, then friend, you will be paralyzed with fear. You won't do anything for the cause of the Lord Jesus. David was more concerned about God's cause. David was more concerned about God's agenda than his own agenda. And we find here in this passage of scripture that he's criticized for his vision. He's criticized for doing something The reality is that if we want to be criticized, if we want people to get angry, then all we have to do is become a failure or a success. We're going to have criticism. If you do nothing, then no one will say a word. But if you try something and you fail, and you try something and you succeed, then you're going to find criticism. Listen, friend, don't listen to the opinions of people. Live for the audience of one. We must have a cause. There's a great cause, and David was criticized. You know, I believe criticism and praise should be treated like bubble gum. You know, you can chew on it for a little bit, but don't swallow it. Amen. You know, we need to make sure we're living our life for the Lord. And David was criticized because of his passion. He was criticized because of his cause. Look what the Bible says in verse 29. It says here, verse 29, the cause of David. It says, and David said, what have I now done? Why are you angry with me? What have I done in my life? He says, is there not a cause? Friend, there is a great cause. There's a great cause. Let me remind you this morning, the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, the cause of the Lord Jesus. Let me talk about the cause of preaching. The cause of preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, the preaching of the word of God. Think about the cause of our hearts for God, the cause of our hearts toward God. Psalm 57, verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and I will give praise to you. God, help us today to understand this important cause, to fix our heart upon the Lord. Think about the cause of the next generation. And Joshua said unto them in Joshua 4, verse 5, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone unto his shoulder, and according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? The cause. We can't just do nothing. No, we need to step out by faith. We have a cause for the next generation to see the hand of God. And they need to see by our testimony that there is nothing too hard for God. And step out by faith and trust the Lord that God will meet the needs. Think about the cause of missions. Matthew chapter 28, it's in the Bible. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we cannot go to the uttermost part of the world. So what do? We send others to go for us. We financially support them and prayerfully support them so that they can go in our behalf. The cause of missions, the cause of the Great Commission, to tell other people about Christ, to invite people to church and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our cause. And friend, listen to me. It is worth sacrificing for. We have a cause today. And if we are going to defeat the giants in our life, it begins with a cause. And it must be a biblical cause. As we trust the Lord, as we move forward for his glory, we must have a cause. Others have faltered, but God gave David a cause. Let me say this. Number two, would you write it down? When the armor failed, God gave David confidence. When the armor failed, God gave David confidence. Look what the Bible says in verse 31. The Bible says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. This is Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. You're just a child. And he's been a warrior. It says he's been a man of war from his youth. So you're a child, and he's been a soldier since he was a child. You are in no position to fight this giant. And David said to Saul, verse 34, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, this is the truth about the whole circumstance. Verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. How did David get such confidence? I mean, without missing a beat, here's just a child standing before the king and saying, I'll go and I'll fight this giant, and I know that I'm going to win this battle because God is with me. This boy had such confidence. Where did this confidence come from? Well, the Bible makes it clear his confidence came because of past victories. His confidence came because of past victories. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 5. Look at your life for a moment and think about your Christian journey and how God has been faithful in your life. Every single victory, every answered prayer, every opportunity where God has given you victory, they are building blocks in your life for more faith, to more confidence in God. And friend, we ought to be taking steps forward in our Christian life. Our faith ought to be stronger today than it was last year this time. It ought to be. It ought to be. And as we look at our past victories, as we look at God's faithfulness, it helps us to see that God is with us and God will fight our battle for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, look what the Bible says. The Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. So Paul is saying here, we glory in tough times. We could say that. We glory in difficult times. So he says, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So what does tribulation bring? Tough times, difficulties in your life. It brings patience. Patience is waiting on God. Well, patience is trusting God. Never pray the prayer unless you're serious about it. Lord, give me patience, because there's only one way to get patience, and that's through tribulation. God's going to say, all right, I'll give you a dose of patience, but you're going to have to work through it in order to get that patience, because the Bible says here that tribulation worketh patience. So as we work through those trials, we learn to trust the Lord. We learn to grow. The Bible says here we wait on him, and patience brings experience. Experience is tried and proven as we see the hand of God, as we see the work of God. And what does this experience bring? Verse 4, it brings hope. Hope is confidence in God. Hope is trusting and looking to God. So David had tribulation, and that tribulation worked patience, and that patience worked experience. And so when he stood before the king, King Saul, he had hope. He says, hey, listen, God protected me when I fought the bear, and God protected me when I fought the lion. Listen, God will also protect me when I face this uncircumcised Philistine. He had confidence that God was going to show up. And friend, listen to me. You need confidence that God's going to show up when you face the giants in your life, because God will show up. God wants to help us in these areas of our life. Confidence because of past victories. But also look at this, confidence in proven means. confidence in proven means. Look what the Bible says in verse number 38 of our text. The Bible says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go. And he had not proved it. Verse 39, he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And verse number 40, the Bible says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones over the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Isn't that foolish? I mean, here's a boy, and the king says, here's my armor, probably the best armor that Israel could have. The best armor that Israel could have. Here's my armor. And David took it off and says, I can't use this. I haven't proved it. So what does he do? He grabs a stick, a staff, and he grabs a sling and 5 smooth stones, and he walks closer to see and to meet Goliath. Listen, friend, this is an important truth. As we are fighting our giant, we must have proven means. The Bible talks about the power of God, God's grace in our life. That's a proven mean. The Bible teaches us that when we face tribulation, we shouldn't be surprised, because every Christian throughout the world has faced tribulation and trials in their life. But we have this confidence that God will give us grace to overcome. That's a proven mean. We know that God's grace is there. What about the weapons of our warfare? The word of God and prayer. Think about the weapon of prayer that oftentimes we're too busy for, right? The word of God, a living book to help us. I love proven means. You know, our world today is busy. I get emails all the time about church growth, seminars, new methods and how to build a thriving church, new methods and how you can have a mega church. You know, the reality is I like proven methods. The Bible says that it's God's responsibility to grow his church. The pastor's responsibility is just to preach the word of God. He said to Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. No, you need to just preach, thus saith the Lord. God, the Holy Spirit will be the teacher. God will take care of the rest. I love proven means. That's one of the reasons why I use the King James Bible. I like the proven mean that we have, the word of God used centuries and used in the greatest revivals that this world has never, ever known, the King James Bible. You know, there are so many versions of the Bible. And, you know, your head spins and all the different versions that we have. I just recently read in 2003, there was a version released. It was called Rob Lancey, the actor and the performance poet. He published the Bible called The Word on the Street. This was the version of the Bible he published, The Word on the Street. And he condensed the Bible from I don't know how many pages, thousands of pages, to 500 pages. And this is what he said, I quote, he said, now the Bible is easier to handle. Last time I read in my Bible, it says every word of God is pure, amen? Every word of God is pure. And it's not our job to take words from the Bible. It's our job to embrace the words that God has given us, knowing that this is thus saith the Lord. I love proven means. I love the old hymns that we sing. I mean, how can in our world today, how can we get a better hymn than the testimony of a man who wrote at the cross? These wonderful hymns that we sing are just a blessing filled with truth and testimony and doctrine. And doctrine, I love proven means. You know, the reality is when others falter, God gives us a cause. When our armor fails, God gives us confidence. And then I want to see thirdly, and I'll be done, when the enemy fought, God gave me conquest. God gave me conquest. Look what the Bible says here in verse 41. David got the victory. The Bible says in the Philistine, verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. and ruddy and of fair countenance. In other words, he was a good-looking chap. And here Goliath is looking at this young man. He's proper, and he's saying, did you think I was just a dog? He says in verse 43, am I a dog that you come with me with a stick? I mean, am I just your pet that you've come with a stick, and you got this slingshot and these stones? Don't you understand that I'm a man of war? Don't you understand that since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I was in battle? I mean, this is a joke. This is the best that you have? This is who you sent to fight me? Wait, correction. There was somebody else there. And he was the great champion. He's the God, the King of Kings, the God of this world. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that David said, oh, I'm not going to fight you, Goliath. You see, you've come to me with armor. You guys are good at forging metal. You've come to me. You know, the Bible says that the Goliath spear, the spearhead on Goliath's spear weighed 18 pounds. I mean, that's like the size of a small child. And David said, you've come to me with, you know, the latest technology in your armory, but I've come to you in the name of the Lord, and he's going to fight my battle for me. And the Bible says that David took that slingshot and he threw that stone through the air, and it hit Goliath in the forehead. And the Bible says that Goliath fell forward. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I'm not a scientist, but you would think if the rock hit him in the forehead, he'd fall backwards. But the reality is God just smacked him in the head and Goliath fell. God won that victory that day. And don't be deceived. God won that victory that day. The Bible says that God showed up. We find the conquest of his faith. You know, the reality is the size of the dog in the fight is not significant as the size of the fight in the dog. And we need to make sure that we are fighting against, yes, we understand the devil is powerful. Yes, we understand the devil wants us to fail, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we've already won the victory through Jesus Christ. We've already won the victory in the Lord. David's concern was God's agenda. And I've said this before, church family, it's not about us going out and doing something and saying, hey, listen, we're just going to hope God gets on board. It's us opening the Bible and find out what God's agenda is and then doing that and allowing God to be partnering us with God in what God is already doing. And this is what David was concerned about. He was concerned about God's agenda. That was his cause. And because of that, he wasn't afraid of what people had to say. He wasn't afraid of failure. He wasn't afraid about the opinions of people. Listen, if the highest aim of a captain is to preserve the ship, then they would just keep it in the port forever. But their concern is getting to the destination. And as Christians, our cause is for Christ to be glorified in our life. His command ought to be our greatest concern. And our job is to do what God has called us to do. And this was David's life. And it was evident here as he fought Goliath. So what giants are in your life today? What giants are you facing? A financial giant? Maybe a health giant? Maybe a spiritual giant? Listen, friend. God can help us to overcome these giants. First of all, we need a cause. Christ is our cause, for his glory is our cause. And then we need to find our confidence in him. The victory is already won in Jesus Christ. Listen, you're a child of God. You need to claim it this morning. And then allow God to fight the battle for you. Let God win the battle as we trust in him. God, help us today to make good decisions this morning for his glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the truth that we have. Lord, that we can stand upon with confidence. We know that this is your word, and Heavenly Father, I pray you would help it to be deep in our hearts. Lord, I pray for each of us this morning. Lord, I know in a crowd this size that there are individuals that are facing giants. And Heavenly Father, I pray that they would find their confidence in you. Lord, I pray that they would look to you even in this hour. Lord, I pray that you would help us. I pray, Lord, that you would give us grace. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and glory for the victory that we've received. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us to make good decisions this morning. May you be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. Again, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.